The reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those who are the object of God's pleasure." Then the angel went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. We owe a lot to Luke, the gospel writer, because quite a few of the birth narratives, the nativity narratives that we know about the background and the genesis of the life of the Lord on earth, come to us from the researches and the writings of Luke. Mark does not record them, John does not record them, and Matthew records a few, but not very many. It is Luke who gives us one story after another that gives us the historical grounding and founding that we need to know that these are not just mythological tales, but they are grounded in historical reality. There was indeed a child born in the city of David in the year that Quirinius was governor and that Augustus Caesar ruled the empire. Historical date, historical place. This, of course, comes to us from Luke's writing, but if you read the prologue to his gospel, those first few verses, you'll notice that Luke gathered all of his data from those who had been firsthand eyewitnesses. There's a little statement there that said, "Mary, the mother of Jesus, the virgin, pondered these things in her heart." It no doubt was the memory of Mary herself that relayed these facts to Luke. When Luke was in Jerusalem for a long period of time and then in Caesarea for a longer period of time during his travels with St. Paul at the end of his third missionary journey before his trip to Rome. So Luke brings us this story, and it's an incredible story. It's the story of the shepherds. It's the story of the angels. It was absolutely no coincidence at all that the angels, who are the heralds of the message of God, the bearers of the gospel, the one who deliver the word of God to man. This took place even in the days of Moses on the mountain. Angels delivered this. Angels always came. They're the messengers of God, and they delivered the message to men. It's not unusual that they delivered to shepherds, for all the patriarchs were men who were shepherds, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from time to time the word of the Lord would come to them. One of the chief receptacles of the hearing of the word of God in ancient literature is Moses. Moses is the one who gives us the great preponderance of the revelation of God. Moses was a shepherd of Midian for 40 years before he shepherded God's people in the wilderness for 40 more years. And when God came to raise up a king of his choosing over his people, he did not go to the palace of King Saul, but he went to the fields of Bethlehem and found yet another shepherd. It's not unusual to think in God's divine economy that when it came time to announce the birth of his divine son, He would use his angels and they would talk to shepherds. And this is precisely what happened here. It's a beautiful story. We hear it read often at Christmas. It's a story that we love to read to the children because it has such tender things in it with the baby and the manger and the shepherds and all of that. And there are many, many things here, but let me just point out a couple. First, a little bit of background. What about this little town of Bethlehem? This little town of Bethlehem, also known as Ephrath in the Scriptures. Ephrath was the ancient name of a little village where in his travels and in his sojourns, Jacob, who finally, the wife that he loved, finally overcame by God's divine intervention her barren condition and brought forth the baby. But in the process of childbirth, Rachel died. And Rachel was buried in this little village of Ephrath, known as Bethlehem. Years would come and go. God's people would undergo an enormous amount of undertaking, going into Egypt, coming back, and all of that. As the centuries would pass, once again, God would look favorably upon this little town of Bethlehem. And there we have the story of Ruth and Naomi, where we see Naomi's fortunes being restored by a redeemer, Boaz, who then takes to himself Ruth, the Moabite, and has a child. And here in the ancient scriptures, we see the picture of a woman holding a baby in Bethlehem. The years go by, 3 generations, in fact, and God sends the prophet Samuel down to the little village of Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint a man who not only is he going to raise up to be king over Israel, but he is also going to be the prototype and the ancestor of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It is through the loins of David and the lineage of David will come Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so even though they lived almost 80 miles to the north, God superintended providentially in history with the decrees of Caesar Augustus that somehow Joseph and Mary ended up in the little town of Bethlehem, the city of David. And those shepherds were watching the flocks, the very flocks who had descended from the sheep that David himself had herded 1,000 years earlier. And in that little town of Bethlehem, the scene is set for God to fulfill all the promises that He had made to His people about sending one who would be not just the King of Israel, not just the Messiah, but the Savior of the world, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And so in that little village of Bethlehem, which, by the way, I have an interesting thing. I just got to squeeze this in. If you'll give me a couple of minutes, I'll tell you this. I think it'll bless your heart. Most of you know the town of Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. Most of you know that. Well, of course, it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that Ruth returned to Bethlehem and Naomi returned to Bethlehem back in that ancient day during the barley harvest, the house of bread. And it's no coincidence that from that little town of Bethlehem comes the living bread. But did you know that the other ancient, more ancient name for the little village of Bethlehem was Ephrath? And Ephrath means fruit. It is no coincidence that from that little town of Bethlehem, Ephrath, would come the one who would be the true vine. And from the fruit of the true vine would come the blood of redemption. And when we come to the table, we need to think about the little town of Bethlehem, the house of bread, and the house of fruit. That's just an aside. That's for free. That won't cost you anything. I just find those little things like that in Scripture just absolutely marvelous. When you begin to mine around in Scripture and tromp around in there, you see an incredible, not only a piece of literary mastery, but you see God in His great wisdom just weaving countless threads together to bring us to this time. But back to the angels. The angels were the ones who announced the good word. The scripture says that an angel appeared. We don't know which angel. He's not named. But Gabriel is the angel that always appears in the other nativity narrative. So it's safe to assume that this was indeed Gabriel. He seemed to be on duty for this particular call of God. And an angel delivered to the people this message and told these shepherds some specifics about this child that was born. And then the other angels joined with him. Now, the scripture does not say that they sang. They may have. I believe they probably did. Angels usually have pretty good voices, we understand. They very well may have sung this as a high chorus, but at least they proclaimed it. There was a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." The message of the angel was to announce peace for this little baby that was to be born in the city of David, that was to be born in the royal lineage, was to be a prince of peace. And he would come and bring not only peace to the human heart, but he would bring a structure and an order to society that would bring peace. The great peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, covered the ancient world. But there is a greater peace, a peace Christos, the peace of Christ, that starts in the human heart and grows to the family, to the tribe, to the kindred, to the clan, to the nation, and to the world. And one day we have this promise that that Prince of Peace will establish an eternal reign of peace upon a new heaven and a new earth. These are the most significant tidings that any angel ever brought to the shepherds. Even greater than the law of Moses, even greater than the words. And the Bible says that the Shekinah glory of God gathered all around. We've seen the Shekinah glory of God. We saw it on the mountain when Moses made his very face glow. We saw this in the burning bush. We saw this in the fire over the tabernacle. And we see, even the disciples would later see this Shekinah glory in the days of Jesus' transfiguration. And they would see this Shekinah glory in the days of His ascension. And they would see, and we will see, the clouds of glory, the glorious Shekinah glory of God, when one day Jesus returns in the clouds of glory. The angels got a picture of it that night. It's interesting to me that the angels did not tell the shepherds to go into Bethlehem to see the child. They didn't put any imperative upon them, no commandment upon them. They just told them the good news. The pronouncement of the facts, the news, the tidings alone was enough to move those shepherds and among themselves with their free will and their own decision, with the impelling of the Spirit of God in the Shekinah glory. They said, "Let's do it. Let's get up and go into Bethlehem and see this thing that's come to pass." And so they did. They went into Bethlehem. It's interesting, here we have Mary as an eyewitness. I wonder what Mary thought when she saw all these old scruffy shepherds coming in. Probably in the wee hours of the morning, maybe the next day. Who knows exactly how long it took them to get there and when they got there. But then they come in and they bow before this little infant. And they worship Him. And then they go forth to tell people. Who in the world do you think these shepherds told? Well, these shepherds were tending the flocks in Bethlehem. Bethlehem's only about 5 or 6 miles from Jerusalem. And quite often, the animals that were sacrificed in the temple in Jerusalem were raised by the shepherds in the nearby villages. And they were always for sale as the pilgrims came to Jerusalem. So these were animals that were raised, some of them perhaps for sacrifice. Let me tell you, these shepherds understood the notion of the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. And as things begin to come together, they begin to understand the gospel. That this little baby, born appropriately in the house of the animal, was to be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Who do you think they told when they went back? They told the men with whom they dealt, who represented the group from the temple. They gave firsthand testimony to the men who ran the sacrificial system in Jerusalem. By way of practical application, as Mark Davis and I were discussing this passage this week, Mark told me the application that he might make on this has to do with worship and proclamation. Both the shepherds and the angels worshiped. And both the shepherds and the angels told somebody about it, proclaimed it. Isn't that really where we ought to be? Shouldn't we be, having heard the gospel story of the coming of Christ, tell it? Maybe we can sum it up with a few titles of the carols. Maybe we can say, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And then we can say, "Oh come, let us adore Him." And then we can say, "Go, tell it on the mountain."